up?
What's up?
I'm playing this song on purpose. You know that, don't you, Ryan?
Well, you push the button. Yeah.
But you see the name of the song.
And why are you playing Chicago song?
I took a field trip today, Raj.
What time did you leave this morning?
I left at 7:30 our time. To get to Chicago in time for the Container Store to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was picking up a piece of equipment for my daughter's room.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you the story behind this.
What's the piece of equipment that was worth a 300-mile round trip to get?
It's a collapsible hutch. It's really cool. They demonstrated it to me when I was there. It's in a box. It's flat. You take it out, and you fold it up carefully, and you push the shelves in, and it locks.
Is it made out of cardboard?
No, it's made out of white oak.
Huh.
And it sits on top of your desk, and it's something that's perfect for students and things like that. But you don't have to have any tools. It comes in a case that you can just carry, you know, like a suitcase or something.
And you couldn't get it shipped to
you?
No,
that's where the story comes in. I had it shipped in time to get it. Unfortunately, they shipped the wrong color. Maggie wanted white. They shipped me in Java. So we turned around and we shipped it back, but by the time I had received it and we checked, they couldn't ensure that they were going to get me one in time.
So did they pay for your trip?
No. Well, sort of, because I got my shipping refunded.
Oh.
Was what happened. So they refunded the shipping, and then they gave me a certain percentage off on the cost of the one that's sitting in my car right now.
Oh.
They were very, very nice. And it's like a toy.
Oh, the Container Store is great.
It is so cool. It's like do you remember the movie... UHF had Spatula City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Container Store is sort of like that, only for real.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. The prices are really reasonable. It's on the north side of Chicago.
Oh, there's a number of stores.
Yeah,
in
there's
Chicago.
One in Schaumburg and Oakbrook, but the one in Chicago proper was the one that was closest.
Schaumburg, you go to IKEA and the Container Store because they're a block apart.
I'm telling you, it was just too cool, and the people there couldn't have been nicer.
Well, and the Container Store is a little like Costco.
Yeah.
they pay their workers a true living wage. Everybody, even part-time people who work there, get benefits.
It's a beautiful store. It really is. It's gorgeous. So I recommend it. It's a field trip.
All right.
Now, on the way there and on the way back, I passed U.S. Cellular Field, which is the home field for the Chicago White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that the drivers in Chicago did not feel that I was doing this to them, but I flipped the field off both ways.
Both north and
south. That's right, boy. And it didn't really have any traffic issues. Paid a few tolls, but, you know, hey, that happens.
Hey, I got a question for Bob or whoever.
I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, well, whoever does go. Yeah, John Furyk. I saw a thing on the internet today that said we're having a blue moon tonight.
Really?
Well, and I don't think it's possible to have a blue moon on the 20th of the month.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
So I'm thinking this is a something incorrect on the maybe the listener knows. But it seems to me a blue moon, which is the second full moon of the month, could only come in the last few days of the month.
Yeah, maybe the 30th.
Yeah.
Or the 31st, but not.
But not the 20th. And so if we don't get a call from listeners, then I want to ask our weather person, whoever that is today,
okay,
can you have a blue moon this early in the month?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think you're right. I don't think you can. Quickly, two updates that we had. These are pre-topics before we start the show proper. The Comstock Zoning Board of Appeals agreed that what Enbridge wants to do is not light manufacturing, but they've sent it to their planning commission, which will meet on Thursday with the possibility of it qualifying for a special use permit. So it's going to be up to the Comstock Township Planning Commission as to whether or not what Enbridge wants to do in the industrial park qualifies for a special use permit.
I don't really understand that. I have some experience in Zoning Board of Appeals, and I'm not certain why they would refer it back to the Planning Commission. At least in Oshtemo Township, the Planning Commission can authorize a new zone, so to speak, but they can't okay an individual variance. That's not what the planning commission is about.
Oh, well, apparently,
and so I don't understand how they work in Comstock Township.
According to the ZBA there, they said, well, we're sending it back to the planning commission to see if it qualifies. I don't know if it sends
me
if it's,
thinking yeah, everybody's ducking here.
Yeah, I think so too. Or maybe they're stalling. You never know.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo City Commission approved the restrictions on digital billboards, but they approved tougher ones than recommended by their planning commission. The distance between the electronic signs would have to be 2,500 feet. The minimum time any message can stay is from 8 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's to reduce the distraction and reduce the luminosity. They also banned electric signs from being erected near the Veterans Memorial in Rose Park. And from a veteran, I'm going to say thank you very much. I thought that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
So Adams Advertising is going to check out and analyze the changes. But that's what the city commission did last night. So,
You can't answer the question either.
No.
I was going to say, as a city resident, but you don't live in Kalamazoo.
I don't live in Kalamazoo anymore. No,
yeah.
No.
So none of your business either.
No, it isn't.
You and I need to shut up now.
No. We can't. Speaking of the Kalamazoo City Commission,
yes.
They're going to start our show today.
They are.
Yes, they are.
Of the United States of America.
One nation, under God, indivisible.
I'm glad you were there. It dropped out.
Yeah.
I got to check that.
Yeah.
All right. 877.
Or every time you play it, I'll sit here and fill
thank
in.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Of course, you can call 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. And the SNEXT and SMEXTing lines, the smarmy and snarky texts, are, of course, available at 80373. They were humming yesterday with traffic stuff. Did you catch all that?
Yeah.
Man, we were, it was, man, everywhere.
Yeah.
Good stuff. It was, did I run across the Indiana toll road to see how rough it was? I'll tell you what, though, before we get in, we're going to talk about roads next here, by the way. I will tell you that, yes, the Indiana toll road is a little bit, there is a section of it. A pretty good size section where you got to drive in a left-hand lane because it's like a washboard on the right-hand side.
Hmm.
I was in there, I was going thump, 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 thump. So I moved off. I thought it was a road in Michigan, for crying out loud.
So that Spanish company that runs the Indiana toll road now ain't doing such a good job?
Not such a good job, no. Now, when I was in Illinois, it was fine. Skyway was fine. You know, 94 was fine. But yeah, the answer to the texter, yes, I did run across the Indiana toll road to see how rough it was, and it was in some places it was not nice.
I believe the Illinois toll roads are still being run by Americans.
I think so.
It's just Indiana that leased their toll road to a Spanish company.
Yeah.
See.
Speaking of roads there, Senor.
Yes.
One of your favorite places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Deep in the heart of.
They sort of set the standard for the future of America.
You think?
Yeah.
You think this is going to become the norm?
Well, as we slip into being a third world country,
Well,
I think this is.
So set the table here. This is Texas apparently is having road problems too.
Many states are. If you recall, back in 2010, there were a number of Michigan counties who were converting paved roads to gravel roads as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now this has been expanded to Texas. And last month, the Texas Board of Department of Transportation announced converting more than 80 miles of paved roads to gravel because we as a country can't afford paved roads anymore. And they just don't have the money to maintain paved roads. It was too expensive to repair the potholes. And interesting, I did a little research. It wasn't mentioned in this article that came from the Texas Tribune. But Caterpillar has actually made a new piece of equipment. It is called the Caterpillar RM300 Rotary Mixer. It costs $400,000, and it's a machine designed to convert paved roads to gravel.
Wow.
Because it's happening all over the country. In Indiana, the Local Technical Assistance Program, LTAP, run out of Purdue University's, conducts seminars titled Back to the Stone Age. And it tells counties, gives them advice on depaving roads and how to deal with the aggravated taxpayers saying that landowners who've grown accustomed to pavement are now demanding dust control on the new gravel roads. And have you ever heard of the National Center for Pavement Preservation at Michigan State University?
I have not.
I hadn't either. But the director Larry Galehouse, is saying a lot of roads have just deteriorated to the point that there's no other choice than to turn them back to gravel. And he ends his comment by saying we're leaving an awful legacy for future generations. Now, in Texas, the bad roads are being caused by fracking. Mm-hmm. Not the fracking itself.
The frackers.
But the heavy traffic, yeah, and the tank trucks full of water for the fracking are tearing up the roads. And the energy production industry wants no part of paying for the roads.
But they do want to tear them up.
No, they don't. They just want to use them. And they don't care if they're converted to gravel, as long as they don't have to pay. But these local counties, you know, somebody like Kalamazoo County, just don't have the money to keep up with the wear and tear on the roads from all these super heavy trucks that are running around on them.
Yeah.
But Texas is not the Lone Ranger. Michigan is far back as 2010 was talking about conversion of paved roads to gravel in Michigan. It seemed Allegan County was doing, my recollection, was doing quite a bit back then.
Well, you know, but, and some of these roads, Roger, are ineligible for federal funding because they're considered rural roads.
Yeah.
I remember my great aunt and uncle, rest their soul, lived on a dirt road, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because in the summertime, yeah, you could tell where the county had sprayed oil on the roads.
Yeah.
Not just because of the dark color, but the vegetation along the side of the roads that would just get pummeled with dust.
Mm-hmm.
But then in front of their house, probably I'd say 100 feet from their property line and then down,
mm-hmm,
they had oil sprayed on the roads.
Yeah.
And it kept the dust down completely. Now, I don't know if you remember the story quick before we go to break, and then we'll talk a little more. There, an entire city in Missouri,
mm-hmm,
disappeared because of the spraying of oil on dirt roads to control the dust control.
And it was full of dioxin.
It had dioxin, and the former, yeah, residents of Times Beach had to move someplace else. And it was funny because when I was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood, I'd have to drive through there or past it. And then it happened about the time that I was down there, and mm-hmm, and you know, it still said Times Beach, you know, and everything, but there was nobody around.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the other thing about gravel roads is, I don't know if you've ever driven on them after the rain. If you think the washboard effect on the Indiana toll road is bad, driving a gravel road after it rains, it's bad.
Oh, what's it like in the springtime when it thaws?
Yeah, the other thing is snow control. Can you plow a dirt road?
Well, that would pack snow into all the potholes.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is an interesting. So we'll continue our conversation about this. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO. Hey, Raj, breaking news. Guess what?
What?
NSYNC's going to reunite on television.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm beside myself. I am all
really?
A Twitter, and I don't even twit. So.
Huh. I'm excited, too.
Yeah, woohoo.
Yeah. I may not be able to sleep tonight.
I'm sorry.
Finish.
I was going to say, we'll check in with our response, our listener response line here in a few minutes to see what the response is about NSYNC.
Yeah.
But go ahead, please.
Boy, I bet you everybody's excited.
You.
This is big news.
So what now?
Oh, I talked to the Kalamazoo County Road Commission during the break.
Oh, really? Cool.
And in the last 6 years, approximately 3 miles of Kalamazoo County roads have been converted from pavement to gravel.
Did they give you a reason why?
Yeah, they don't have enough money to take care of all the roads.
All right.
Yeah, same problem Texas and all the other states have. You know, and as the United States slips into a developing country infrastructure, we're going to have to expect this kind of thing.
Let me ask you.
Paved roads are a luxury that apparently we can't afford in the United States anymore.
Let me ask you a question, because and people know that you're on the Oshimo Township Zoning Board of Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
From a standpoint of business,
mm-hmm.
okay, and whatnot, could you see a possible downturn in businesses wanting to come to rural or that type of area just because of the transportation issues that we're having to deal with? I mean, would you see more and more townships, especially the rural ones, you know, like Waukesha and Oshimo to some extent, and Climax and whatnot, those areas possibly making this decision more often because it will reduce the amount of money it costs?
I can't imagine Southwest Michigan first. I can't think of Ron Kitchens approaching a world-class corporation and saying, we've got this great site for your plant that's going to bring jobs to North America on a dirt road just outside on the periphery of the county.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine that would be an enticement to a company to come and do business where there are gravel roads. But I don't know that the area that these gravel roads are appearing were a likely candidate for that kind of development.
I'm just wondering.
But as the country's infrastructure continues to deteriorate and our elected officials do nothing about that, it's going to be harder and harder to get businesses to come to areas. And in the long run, it'll be difficult for businesses to get them to come to the United States at all if we don't have a competitive infrastructure with countries like Australia, which has half the unemployment that we do, or Canada, which has substantially lower unemployment than we do. Why would a company want to come to the United States and live on dirt roads?
It's a good question.
I'm just thinking it's a marketing problem.
I think our state lawmakers are going to be very busy when they go back, because there's a lot on their plate, and it appears that roads are going to smack them in the face again, too.
No, they could do the same thing Texas did, and that's nothing.
So we're going to talk about one of Roger's favorite things coming up after CBS News and local news and get a check into weather. It is the Trifecta. 590 WKZO. It is the Trifecta. It's Roger. It's me.
Who's you?
I don't know. Some days I don't know. You know, I really don't.
He's Jim.
Yeah.
As I just thought they'd add that.
As in Nasium.
So where are we going now?
I'm looking at the texting comments.
Oh.
One of our stations up east of us is dominating. They must be having a contest or something. We're going to talk a little bit about an organization that you are so fond of and speak well of and whatnot, that being the Tea Party Movement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your buds. We're also going to be playing Meteorologist Roulette because we're not quite sure exactly who's going to pop up from AccuWeather.
I'm watching.
I don't know if it's John or if it's maybe Danielle's gonna was you know we asked did Danielle pop in once because she hasn't done a round with us yet. Anyway, Tigers tonight, by the way, they get back into action. They are against the Minnesota Twins at Comerica Park, 6:40 airtime here on 590 WKZO. And by golly, I guess Bob did, huh?
Your wish.
Yeah, welcome to the trifecta, Danielle. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
We get to hear you like when we're getting ready to come on. And so I mentioned to Bob when he said he was going on vacation. I said, you know, Danielle's never been on the show. You should let her come. He says, is that a request? And I said, well, yeah. You know, she doesn't know anything about us yet. After the first time, then she probably won't come back.
Yeah.
But, you know. Did he warn you about us?
No, I didn't get too much information out of him, but so far so good.
Well, I'll tell you what he does is he comes up with a word.
Okay.
A weather word of the day that pretty much describes whatever it is that's going to smack us around.
Gotcha.
Or not. So given the short notice that we've given you on this, can you think of a possible word that might represent the forecast for us?
Oh, you know, I think we're going to say satisfying.
You know, for a first time out... Very good.
Yeah. All right.
We like that. Now, if you're...
It's not weasel worded. I mean, we know what that means.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes he gets a little crazy.
Bob sometimes uses words that we've never heard of before.
This is true.
Yeah, I tried the thesaurus, but I tried to at least find something that I even at least know what it is.
Now, I did notice today when I was I took a field trip to Chicago and back, and I noticed when I was coming back that there was some cloud buildup, you know, and it looked like, you know, cumulus, obviously, but some of them looked a little puffier than maybe we might want. Is there any chance at all that we're going to get any kind of precipitation before Thursday?
No, you know, things look pretty quiet in the area here up until Thursday. So I think we are in the clear in terms of any sort of wet weather here.
Cool. Now, our thermometer here at the radio station is a little wacko. It's reading 86.
That's a little warm.
Yeah. And
a little warm.
So I'm wondering, do you know what it is at the airport?
Right now, at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, 81 degrees.
Okay, so we're still within the shot range because he says 3 to 5 degrees. I just got a feeling there's something wrong with this thing. And it's in the shade, too. That's the thing.
Oh, wow.
But it's in an alcove at the back of the station where hot air might, like, gather.
Okay.
You know?
We have a lot of hot air here.
Yeah, we have a lot of hot air here, by the way. Yeah. And we go out and stand out there, so that could be part of it. Well, what do we have to look forward to the next couple of days?
Next couple of days, you know, our weather's still looking pretty nice tomorrow. We're still going to see a lot of sunshine around. Some patchy clouds will be mixing in. It is going to be warming up, though, tomorrow. Back to a taste of summer-like conditions here. We're looking at 88 degrees, the high for tomorrow. And Thursday, as you mentioned, that's when we're going to be looking at some wet weather working its way through, a couple of showers and storms, I think especially through the midday hours, and likely being getting to see the return of some sunshine by the latter part of the day on Thursday. Then from there on out, Friday, right on through the weekend, looking just great, quiet weather conditions, a good deal of sunshine, and temperatures pretty seasonable in the lower 80s.
What's your guess on the amount of precipitation we're going to get on Thursday?
You know, right now I would say maybe I'd give it about 2/10 of an inch or so, 2 to 3/10 of an inch.
No big rain.
No, it doesn't look to be too impressive.
Maybe like
in
a flash shower or something, and then we're done. So I have to ask for one of our compadres here. Is there any chance at all tomorrow that we might see the mercury hit 90?
You know, I probably could not rule that out happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably going to make Jay very happy. He's got this tropical gene, and we're not quite sure if it's a chromosomal defect or if it's just the fact
that... Yeah, he doesn't belong in Michigan.
No. If he's one for hot and humid,
Aruba. You know, if he could work down in Aruba, he'd be great.
Oh, he'd be all set.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Danielle.
Danielle, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Will you be back tomorrow?
You know, if you want me to, I could be back tomorrow.
We'd love to have you.
All right.
We'd love to have
you. Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
All right.
All right. Take care. Danielle Middle, she fits right in.
Yeah.
You know, everybody we've talked to at AccuWeather fits right in. We really ought to take a road trip.
Yeah.
Maybe do a show from there.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I actually
like to go to the AccuWeather Tower. Have you really?
Yeah.
Been to AccuWeather?
Yeah.
Have you met Bob or anybody?
Actually, Elliot.
Elliot.
Abrams,
who was on with Lori in the morning.
Yeah. Both my wife and I on a tour of the facility.
Wow. Did you win a contest or something? Or
no. Just called him up before going and said, hey, I'm going to be in the area.
Wow.
Can I stop by? And
might have to do that.
They've got beautiful facilities. And Elliot, who is a principal of the company, he's not just a run-of-the-mill schmuck there.
No.
And he was more than happy to show us their facilities.
Very nice. I may have to take a road trip.
Major television facilities.
Oh.
They do a lot of TV.
Okay.
They do a lot of forecasts for smaller market television stations who can't have their own meteorologist.
Oh, so they tape them and then they send them out to them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Well, it's nice to have Danielle here.
Yeah.
So I'll have to thank Bob. I just, you know, we hear her on the air and then she never gets to fill in. I thought, well, it'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
To have a female voice on the trifecta a little bit.
And so you were talking about the Tea Party.
Yeah, the Tea Party movement, which we know you know and love so much. A solid member of that organization or that group, Todd Kerser. You may have heard of him.
No.
Todd Kerser, and this involves our friend of the show, Tim Skubik, by the way.
Oh.
Tim is the moderator of a show called Off the Record, which you can here on WKAR.com, or I think .org. I'll have to look it up. It's the public radio station at Michigan State University, and he has a show, political show. Todd Kerser was on the other day, and he was asked a question about what Democrats called the civil war, using the quoting fingers, going on between the old guard, as Mr. Kerser has described, the GOP, and the Tea Party wing of the... And he said, instead of civil war, he used this term, and again, I'm using the quoting fingers, intense fellowship broke the place up.
intense fellowship.
Yeah. And Tim goes on to say in his article that even as funny as it was, if you're Governor Snyder, Lieutenant Governor Calley, and some other members of the Republican establishment in Lansing, it may not be so funny because the Tea Party is making noises that they have the oomph to not only knock Governor Snyder out, but that they're zeroing in, and we've heard the story before, Roger, that at the convention they are going to target Lieutenant Governor Calley to be knocked off the ticket to be replaced by somebody more in line with what the Tea Party movement believes in.
Well, and they went on to suggest that Governor Snyder should run as a Democrat, that he's not a conservative.
He also mentioned during this broadcast, Mr. Kerser did, that the governor, after doing something that the Tea Party really enjoyed, which was the right to work legislation, has decided to move back towards the middle of the political spectrum in order to keep those independents and moderates from shifting over and voting for who is right now the de facto Democratic nominee, and that is Mark Schauer. We've talked about this before, Raj, because it's like a roller coaster ride almost. You know, the Tea Party movement will get up, and it'll look like it has some political credence to it, and that there's some oomph behind it, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and it's like the bottom falls out. Then suddenly they're not as relevant as they were before, and then all of a sudden they become relevant again. I'm wondering, and we have listeners who, you know, are avid Tea Party movement members, including Chris and several others, and Gene Clem, of course, who is a spokesperson for the Michigan Tea Party Alliance and the president of the Southwest Michigan Tea Party Patriots, who's been on the show before. I guess those are the people, if you ask them, they're going to give you the answer, well, yes, we have the oomph now. It's the other side of the party, I think, as Mr. Kerser calls it, the, quote, old guard. They would be the ones, I guess, I would want to ask. I guess the question that would be delegated to Bobby Shostak, who's the state Republican chair, to our own Republican chair here in Kalamazoo County, a gentleman and a scholar, Dave Worthams. Other, you know, Kent County, Wayne County, people, you know, where there are large concentrations of people, those, I guess, are the people that I would want to hear from to say, okay, look, the Tea Party's rattling their sabers and saying, hey, look, not only are we going to be a force, we're going to knock your ticket off. we are going to, if Governor Snyder is the de facto, and I don't see a Republican challenger right now, truth to tell, I think that's why they're targeting the lieutenant governor, because that could end up being a battle. And are they, I guess to use the phrase, are they girding their GOP loins? Because come party convention time, it could turn into a real brouhaha. And I don't know, Rod, we're from the outside. Do you see this happening? Do you see the Tea Party movement with enough oomph to possibly challenge and get Lieutenant Governor Calley off the ticket?
I don't know. But both the Democrat and Republican parties have historically been the Borg, in that resistance was futile, and we'd have these little small flash in the pan organizations like the Tea Party pop up. And they would very soon be sucked into one of the two political parties. Because if nothing else, the one thing Republicans and Democrats agree on is they want a two-party system. And they don't want third parties out there. And so their both parties' number one goal is to... Bring in these little organizations and then smother them in theirs. Now, the Tea Party appears to have had more life than the Republicans had gambled on, because now I'm not certain that the Tea Party isn't taking over the Republican Party, mm-hmm. and pushing the moderates out. That's one of the reasons you see no Republican representatives in the northeast part of the country. There are no more liberal Republicans, and there used to be liberal mm-hmm. Republicans. Mm-hmm. I voted for one, Charles Goodell, a senator from New York State. But it seems now, I don't know if the Republican Party can survive the Tea Party and not become the Tea Party. We won't call them Tea Party anymore, but they'll be the Republican Party.
Who's standing toe-to-toe with Governor Snyder, though, against the Tea Party, in essence? And that's House Speaker Jace Bolger. And I'll tell you why, because Speaker Bolger is totally in favor of the Medicaid expansion, just like the governor is, but in the version that the governor put out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so there is a key Republican in the legislature who pretty much has told the Tea Party to go up a rope, because he doesn't believe either of the two ideas that have come out with the other state senators. He says they're going to be dead on arrival in the House. It's the one we put forward. That's the one that's going to go. And so, you know, as far as the Tea Party challenge, I think Jace Bolger is squarely in the corner.
But on the other hand, last time Gene Clem was in with us, he said he was coordinating the Republican county picnic.
Yeah.
And so is the tail wagging the dog? I'm thinking.
Don't know. Big news from EM land. We'll have that next. It is the trifecta. Approaching the end of the first hour of the trifecta, quickly we want to mention this. It's Roger and it's Jim, not that, but we want to mention this. We smacked the EM program around a lot, Roger, but it appears that it may have worked in Pontiac.
Really?
Yes, the emergency manager there, Lou Schimmel, informed the governor's office on Friday that he has determined the financial emergency in Pontiac to be, quote, sufficiently addressed. Therefore, Governor Snyder has appointed a transition advisory board that will prepare to hand the government of the city back to its elected officials. So in Pontiac, it's worked, apparently.
It seems.
It seems so. There are five Michigan cities still under EM EM
dictatorship.
No, that's not the word.
Oh, I was just trying
EM
to
control,
help.
EM control, I guess. Detroit, Flint, Benton Harbor, Allen Park, and Hamtramck.
Yeah. Dictatorship is the right word.
No, not dictatorship.
I knew you were looking for a word. I was just trying to help.
No. That's not the word I was looking for.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
You might think so, but no, not me. But anyway, it's nice to know. A lot of stuff out of Pontiac. They, a little fighting. A connection there. The first emergency manager was Michael Stampler, who used to be the city manager in the city of Portage.
Didn't he manage the airport for a while too?
He might have.
I think so.
He might have. Yeah. I don't know. But nonetheless, the current EM, which is Lou Schimmel, says, "Hey, we're on track. Things are looking good." So we don't know how long they will stay that way. Schimmel also will be a part of the transition advisory board, which I think is a good idea. But their bond rating has gone up. Earlier this year, their bond rating went up. So kudos to Pontiac. Way to go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's nice to know that it might work some places.
Well, at least it's not bad news.
Yeah, not bad news. All right, so I'm going to pose this question to you, my friend. What if?
What if?
What if? We'll talk about that next hour.
Oh,
what if?
Just what if?
What if? CBS and local news coming up. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. Let's go!
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.